Dublin versus the rest of the country is a monstrous lie. That's according to one of my next guests. We often hear commentary in the media and in politics that suggests Dublin is favoured over rural Ireland when it comes to investment. But is that actually true? Conor Skehan is with me now. He's a lecturer in DIT's School of Spatial Planning. And in our Dáil studio is the independent TD for Kerry, Michael Healy-Ray, or one of the independent TDs. Of course, his brother Danny is there as well in that constituency. Conor Skehan, can we go back just to your quote that I used in the introduction? You believe the idea of Dublin versus the rest of the country is monstrous. I mean, why? I mean, like, where does the idea that the capital gets more come from, apart from people who are just looking at the obvious?
Well, I think the first thing, sorry, thank you very much, and good morning, Sean. Good morning, Deputy. The narrative, if you want to call it that, is based on the need to make news become entertaining, of creating two sides of the story, big and small, good and bad. Dublin now is a region. It's a city region. It takes in most of North Kildare, South Meath, down as far as Carlow, Louth. And it's a city region, the greater Dublin region. It contains the majority of Ireland's population. It contains 55% at this stage. So when somebody brings out a shock horror story saying that the Dublin region got the most of this or the most of that, it's because that's where the most of the people live. And the necessity of having entertaining news stories that plays one off against the other.
We're hearing from people like you, indeed, Michael Healy-Ray. This seems to be a myth in the view of Conor Skehan.
Well, sure, look, it's like everything. Conor is very respectable and very well established, but he's entitled his opinion. I'll put it to you this way. I was the first person to stand up inside in the Dáil and say, yes, there is a world outside the Red Cow roundabout. Because unfortunately, an awful lot of our politicians, especially senior politicians, if you look at the makeup of the last government, the majority of ministers were concentrated in the greater Dublin region.
Well, there was a Taoiseach from Mayo.
But yes, but look at the way makeup of the ministers. The ministers make up the cabinet, and an awful lot of people
and
think
the finance minister who hailed from West Limerick, which is effectively Kerry.
Right, if you'll let me finish now, Sean, I'll try and make the point, or else you can continue on your own. So all I'm trying to say is there is a world and an awful lot of people outside of Dublin. We are as entitled to live as anybody else. Any jobs that have been created over the last number of years, the only way we hear of jobs is Dublin, yes, a share in Limerick, and yes, a share maybe in Cork. But what we are getting in the regions is very minuscule and small indeed. When I hear them talk about now spending maybe over €1 billion on Dublin Airport, on a place that is already, it's calving in at the joints with the height of pressure. There's not a link, a rail link from Dublin City out to the airport. And at the same time, they're talking about spending more, hundreds and hundreds of millions there. Whereas we have a great service in Shannon, which is completely underutilised. Why wouldn't they be imaginative and think of things like a bullet train from the east to the west to give us a connectivity that would ensure a balanced order of growth?
Okay, let me just put that point to Conor Skehan.
And well, basic you, things like broadband.
Deputy, we all have to be careful what we wish for. The road system, which has become amazing around the country, does a thing that I was warned about by another deputy from Munster once, and he said, Conorby, he said, all roads go both ways. And the lesson of that is this year, over 85% of all visitors to the Cliffs and Moher Visitor Centre are on day trips from Dublin. The very roads that people are wishing for to connect the east, the west, are even more likely to take trade from those areas that people are concerned with. Otherwise, if we hadn't that system, those people who are visiting the Cliffs and Moher might be staying in Clare or North Kerry. So we have to be very careful not to oversimplify the arguments.
And the bullet train idea, east to west?
Same thing, even more day trips.
But Conor, could I challenge you with a thing you were saying, don't oversimplify it. Could I turn it around to you? Please don't overcomplicate it either. What I'm looking for is, tell this story now that you have. Tell this to people in Beaufort and in Glencairn and down in the Black Valley that don't have broadband. Tell it to people in Waterville and in Ballinskillig.
But sure, Deputy, I know. Sure, I'm from Carseveen myself. I know only too well. I've watched my family set up lots and lots of businesses in Carseveen in the late 19th century, and we've watched them all close over the years. And they're closing for the same reason. 20% of people are doing their shopping online. I go out to my friends in Valencia now, and I sit and watch the amazing things they bought, and I'm saying, where'd you get that? I got that online. Where'd you get this? I got that online. They're not buying it in Carseveen, nor Killorglin, nor Killarney, nor anywhere in Ireland for that matter.
Okay.
So that's the reality of what's happening with modern businesses. We have to have different arguments and different ways of making money out into the future.
And to answer that, you're talking about what can we do to solve these problems. Last Monday night I was blowing Village Island. I've brought deputations up here to Minister Shane Ross. We're looking for a very simple thing. Not an extraordinary amount of money. We're looking for something in the order of €1 million to €1.5 million, which is a small amount of money considering what we'll get for it. We want to provide a new ferry connecting Carrisaveen to Village Island. That investment, if we were looking for that here in Dublin, we'd get it no problem in the world. We'd have the cheque go out the gate. But instead, have we got it yet for Village Island? No, we don't. If we lose that connectivity, which is very much required to keep it's the lifeline to Village Island, and it's great to talk to a person like you that should know what we're talking about because of where we're from. You know how important that ferry would
and
be
to
Village Island.
You really put your finger on there. The danger of making oversimplistic arguments where we say Dublin versus the rest is that we lose sight of the fine grain of things that are really important. So the Valentia Island Ferry, which we have to all give credit to, was originally done by private money, by local people
but
in the first
place.
But now
they need assistance.
Exactly. And it's a fantastic example of local initiative which needs the magnifier or the multiplier of state involvement. And you're absolutely right. But that's the kind of focus that only comes from avoiding vast generalisations.
But I don't. Generalise, Connor. I'm very specific, and when I'm up here in Dublin I make very intelligent arguments for the people of Kerry and the other regions, because remember, when I'm fighting for the protection, for instance, and the saver of our of post offices, I'm not just saying, oh, save the rural post offices in Kerry. I'm talking about the rural post offices in Ireland, and indeed in urban Ireland, because do you realise there are small post offices in built-up urban areas who are also going to close. Coming back to the argument that you made, if people don't use a service, they will lose the service. You'll be glad to know I've been successful in securing the retendering of another post office in Kerry and Master Gee, a place that you should know as well. But it's very important to the people in that area that they do get to hold on to a post office, because if they lose the post office, we've lost so much. We want to hold on to the small pubs, the small shops, but if people don't frequent them, they're not going to stay there if customers don't go in and use
them. There's two sides to the argument.
I
mean, and you're saying it yourself there, that what you don't use, you lose. Todd Andrews, as you know, shut down an awful lot of railway lines in the 1950s by speaking to a delegation who'd come to talk to him to ask to save their local station. He said, how did you get there? We got here by car. He said, end of argument. That was the end of the meeting. That was the end of that rail line.
No, and people probably were regretting it for many years afterwards. But look, Connor, I want to put to you a point that you made in a piece you wrote recently in the Sunday Independent. You said, we need to reverse the organisation of our planning. We need to first concentrate on the Dublin region and consistently strive to make it the world's most competitive city region. This will set up a conveyor belt of talent that will lift regions. A strong Leinster will make a stronger Munster, and these together will make a stronger Connacht and Ulster, just like in the rugby.
Yeah, I'm making the point that what you don't have, you can't share. Ireland's already one of the wealthiest countries in the world, and the more money we get, the more we can share with the Carrisaveens and the Valentias and the Drummonds of this world. But if you don't have it, you can't share it. At the moment, I did a calculation coming out here in the taxi, 73% of all tax income in Ireland, of all of it, is earned within about 40 kilometres of where we're sitting here now. You've got to make that area even stronger, even wealthier, and then people like the deputy at the other end of the line can do their good work of making sure that it's shared. But you have to have it to share it. You have to have it to share it. And what I'm arguing against is anything that stops Dublin. And without sounding like I'm picking on people, the GAA model that's saying Dublin, some people in GAA are saying Dublin's getting too big. We have to split Dublin into two Dublins or three Dublins to give everybody else a chance. That's very analogous to the thing of saying we have to drag Dublin back so the rest of the country has a fair chance. Drag Dublin back and you kill the goose that's laying the golden egg.
Could I just say on that, and I want to be quite clear on this, I certainly don't begrudge the people of Dublin anything. The more wealthy and the better they get on, that's the happier I'd be. But I just want balance. I want people to realise that, yes, there are beautiful and great places and great people outside of the capital, and we need to be considered as well. And it comes back to policy. It's like the argument about the post offices. We don't want grants to keep our post offices open. We don't want a handout from anybody. What we want to be, we want the tools to be given to us. In other words, more services so that we can attract attract more custom. I own a small post office myself. I don't want to hand out from anybody, but what I want is I want to be able to attract more customers to come into my post office, use it, and keep that little unit and
but
the person
Michael,
that's
at the
employed
same time,
in a job.
You want good broadband for the people in the Black Valley
100%.
And elsewhere. But is that not, as Conor Skehan says, going to be in one sense a two-way street, that if the people have that, they won't want to go to the local post office because they can do their motor tax or whatever online?
Well, no, look, we have to be sensible about it. Broadband facilities now going to house, to me, is every bit as essential as a water connection, a sewerage connection or an electricity connection. It's every bit as important. So there can be no arguing about that. And I said this in the Dáil the other day, I didn't care who ate what dinner, where or who they were with or how they did it. All I want is for broadband to be rolled out. I'm relying on the new minister. Denis Naughton was an excellent minister, in my opinion. I have 100% confidence in Richard Bruton that he will be good at his job, but what we want is we want it finished by the end of this year, that the work will start, the contract will be awarded, and it will start in 2019, and that the people and the people who want to run businesses and have proper education facilities in their homes, that they will have it. Because why should we play second fiddle to anybody
but are you just because of where we're living? You see, this is the thing I started off the piece saying, is once we start to tell stories that necessity have somebody who's a winner and somebody's a loser, we all lose. That's really the contribution I'm trying to make, is to stop us having those conversations of us and them. We're all in this together. The people of Valencia need, for instance, that ferry to be subsidised. The money has to come from central exchequer. The central exchequer has to earn the money, and what's good for somebody in East Kildare will eventually be good for somebody in South Kerry. We've got to see the links.
Michael Healy-Ray, just a text here from Councillor Dermot Lacey, a Labour councillor, says, and I suspect tongue-in-cheek, can Dublin have the 500 million local property tax taken from it? Can it have that money back?
Well, look, well, Dermot, I'm sure I remember him very well. I remember him coming to me seeking votes one time. I'll put it to you this way. Anything that we ever get, we deserve, quite simply because we're trying to exist as good as anybody else. We're not giving anything back. We're making our own contributions. Everyone that I'm dealing with, everyone in our county, we pay our tax. We do our best to survive where we're living. Maybe Dermot might think that we should all move to Dublin or move to Cork.
I know,
to
Deputy,
Limerick,
in fairness.
But I
mean,
think we'll continue to live
where we
are.
These kinds of arguments, Deputy, they keep on trying to play off the extreme one to the other. If we talked about the difference between North Kerry and South Kerry, the unbelievable wealth once you get north of Killorgan and the starts to kick in Kerry. So we can't have those kinds of generalisations.
Where does that come from, that wealth?
It comes from a few things. It comes from everything from Lieber outside Killarney, an amazing industrial plant right in the heart of Kerry, through to the absolutely amazing work that Kerry Co-op and all of the farmers, the incredible dairy farmers in North Kerry are. I mean, like, you know, that even, I mean, Kerry itself is an illustration of the dangers of making generalisations about rural Ireland. You know?
But just to let you know now, Conor, you're not exactly very factual in what you're saying there, because I'm dealing with towns and small villages in North Kerry that are devastated, and that their shops have closed, their post offices have closed, their small businesses are gone. And what we are terribly relying on is something being done with the land bank, an issue that you know is going on with 40 years. We want industry to come there because it would be the lifeline to that community. It would help North Kerry and even going down into Mid Kerry and up into West Limerick and Clare, because we need industry, we need more jobs.
Well, it has to be,
it has to be
the right type. So we see, for instance, go up to Killorglan, you see the success of Fexco, a world class company,
which is excellent.
Down in the heart of South Kerry, it's the right type of job in the right type of place, and as you know, it reaches all the way down to Carhartt-Savine. That type of employment. So it's the right type.
Do you contend, Michael Healy-Ray, That there are jobs being brought to the Dublin region that could easily be sent to the regions, or, if you like, directed to the regions?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. Any day you're coming into Dublin, you see it yourself. The traffic jams, the cost of trying to park a car, the cost of trying to get accommodation for people looking to either rent, buy or stay in hotel or guest house accommodation. It's enormous. It just makes more sense that if you are looking to locate new jobs, why not think of looking outside of the pale? Quite simply because a better way of life, easier to park your car, cheaper to get accommodation.
But the idea will tell that to all the potential investors and then they just have to make their own choice.
Yes, and you can't force people to do anything they don't want to do. But all I'm looking for is that government and that the cabinet would really consider rural proofing their policies, and that's what I hoped for.
And Deputy, we're not disagreeing, but what I'm saying is we need to be more like somebody with a sniper's rifle rather than a shotgun. We can't be making broad brush statements. We need to be able to get to a situation where the argument, just to go back to the one again of the ferry out to Valencia, is crystal clear to people, because we've homed in like a laser on the one critical thing that opens up well-being for everybody else. That's what we've got to do, Deputy, is avoid the broad brush hand-waving and more detail.
But you see, Conor, whoever you're talking about with the shotgun and with the big sweeping brush, you're definitely not talking about me, because if you listen to the contributions that I make in the Dáil and at committees which I attend on a daily basis, I'm continuously fighting in a very organised and well thought out way.
But is it on the basis of discrimination against rural Ireland?
No, because if you listen to what I said a while ago, I said I don't begrudge the people of Dublin or Limerick or Cork anything that they have. My goodness, if I thought they could have more and more wealth and more prosperity, more look to them. But I'm there to be what I would call a reasoned, sensible voice, not just for the people in Kerry, but for people in Clare and people in Mayo and people in Donegal, all around the what I'd call outside of Dublin, where we need to live as well.
I know, but you take someone like David McWilliams, the economist, who's writing recently that the Dublin region generates something like, generated last year, 22 billion in taxation, but only 16 billion was actually spent in that area. So that would suggest that there is a fairer shake than maybe you're indicating.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. There's a fair bit of spending in 16 billion too. You have to. It's not as though they have nothing to spend inside there. And if you look up at the sky today around Dublin, I was located early this morning, and there's a hell of a lot of cranes there. There's a hell of a lot of prosperity and jobs and work and more power to them. That's great. But I'd like to see a few cranes down around Kerry.
Deputy, that's exactly the point I'm getting to. We've got to have horses for courses. I was at an event last week where they were giving the prize for the best exporter in Ireland to Port West, a Mayo-based company who make outdoor clothing. They have 3,000 employees, nearly €500 million of turnover, all done in the west of Ireland, without cranes, without big fancy factories, and it suits the town of West.
But 3,000 employees in
worldwide.
The west of Ireland?
No, worldwide.
Yeah, you see, you look at where the stuff is being made. It's not being made in Westport, where they're headquartered. It's made in Bangladesh. It's
absolutely
made in Myanmar.
And
it's
they
made
have
in China.
Staff out there as well. And that's exactly this. That's the tide that has turned, Sean. There was a time when we were the Myanmars, when we were the Bangladesh. We were getting the foreign direct investment coming into our country to make it, and we couldn't imagine who were the people who were sending those jobs out. We've become that now. We are the people who are making foreign direct investment in other countries. And we have to understand that sea change that's happened and change our plans and attitudes to go with that.
But can I tell you, but when you say horses for courses, and I'm going to give you an example here, because Conor, you seem to like specifics. If you take Brian McCarthy of Fexico, the founder of Fexico, he started his business with nothing. There is approximately 2,200 employees now, not just in Ireland, but worldwide, but indeed a vast majority of them based in Claughlin. So we need those type of people in Kerry to create jobs. But who's terribly important to us also, because not everybody can be a Brian McCarthy or a Fixico. What we need to do is encourage our smaller employers. I mean, I know, for instance, if you take fish producers, there's Danny McCarthy of Star Seafoods, a person who's employed maybe 50, 60 and 70 people back over maybe the last 40 years. Those people are so important to our communities because they've stood the test of time. And like, maybe that employer creating 60 jobs is the same as somebody else employing 600 people above in Dublin.
Deputy,
because he has such a massive
agree more.
Positive
a couple of years ago, I did a jobs
community
budget for Valencia Island and showed how you could get 300 jobs, and you were building them up half a job at a time, a seasonal job at a time, one job at a time. And Deputy, you will never find any disagreement from me that the way you build an economy is one job at a time. You're absolutely right.
Do you know, Sean, I think that myself and Conor, actually, we might have a lot more in common and agree with than we actually disagree with. But the most important employee that a person can ever have Sean and Connor and your listeners, is the person who starts out and creates one very important job. That's the job for themselves. Start, employ themselves and get themselves going. Then when they grow a little bit, maybe a family member, then a neighbour. That's how small business, that's what it's all about. But that's what we have a lot of in Kerry. But we need to create an environment that will enhance that type of growth and not stimulate or hinder it. Because with regulations and with all of the different changes that are coming about every day, it makes it harder for people to start off in new business.
Okay, I think we're going to leave it there. My thanks to you both.
Thanks very much, John.
Michael Healy-Ray, Independent TD for Kerry, joining us from Leinster House. And also my thanks to Conor Skehan, lecturer at DIT's School of Spatial Planning.